lately, strange things have been appearing in the sky. Noisy birds that fly without flapping their wings. One day something fell from the sky, and Xi, the bushman, had never seen anything like it in his life. It looked like water, but it was harder than anything in the world, and he wondered why the gods had sent this down to the earth. At first he tried to cure thorns, and he spun it around. It was the right shape and weight, and it was also completely smooth. It was perfect for curing snake skin. Well, they found they could make music with it. Well, the guys got it stuck on his finger. And they kept finding new and new uses. But the challenge was they didn't know what it was for, or where it came from, or what they should do with it. If you ever watch the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy, you'll find out what happened. But it kind of reminds me of marriage. Marriage in our society is kind of struggling. And I think it's partly because we've forgotten where it came from and what the purpose is. And so we're briefly going to take a look at what God's Word says about that. You know, it didn't just drop from the sky without instructions, and it isn't ours to redefine as we please, but God gave us His Word so we'd know what it's all about. And He gave us some clear teaching. And so let's jump right in. One of the first purposes, if you look at Genesis 1, 26 to 27, is it's to reflect God's image. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. Notice there's this emphasis on image and likeness. And God creates a them, two people. It's kind of a portrait of how the Trinity works together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working together. They interact. They care for each other. They have love and respect. And in some amazing way, marriage is a portrait of who God is. There's also a picture of his characteristics, his creativity, his intelligence, the personalness to his nature, and his commitment to relationship. And note, both sexes are made in his image, and that they're made with a specific gender. And what God does, He doesn't make mistakes. Another purpose is to reproduce and raise children. One of the first things He told them was, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And from the beginning, having children was part of the plan. Since the fall, things haven't always worked out. Sometimes people can have kids. And I'm not saying that a marriage without children isn't a complete marriage or is wrong. But normally and naturally, the pattern is kids come along. We're to reproduce and have children. And we're to raise them in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. Malachi 2 said, "Has not the Lord made them one? And flesh and spirit, they are His. And why one? Because He was seeking godly offspring." Well, after telling them to reproduce and fill the world, He says, rule. Rule over creation. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let's make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Later on, again in verse 28, "Let him subdue it and have dominion." God has made us the pinnacle of creation. We are special. Dogs and cats and blue whales and fish and tortoises are very valuable. But God put His special stamp upon us. And He gave us the ability to steward creation. I'm not saying we've always done a good job with it, but He has given us that role. And then in Genesis 2, we find something interesting. We have a need for relationship. God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper for him." Now, out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he'd call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper found suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, He took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, He made into a woman. Think about it. Adam was sinless. He was living in an absolutely perfect place. He could pet and interact with all the creatures. But God in His wisdom knew that a Fido just wasn't enough. And so He made a woman. And He parades all these animals before Him. And Adam names them. And yet He realizes, I need something more. And it's interesting that He was made from man. He didn't make her out of dust as well, but there's this equality, and there's this, you know, and later on in Ephesians says, as a man cherishes his wife, he cherishes his own flesh. And it's often been said that Eve wasn't taken from Adam's head to rule over him, nor from his feet that he'd put her down, but she was taken from his side so she'd protect her and keep her close to his heart. And I think there's something to be said for that. But it's interesting that as he made, he fashioned and sculpted her. And if you've ever seen an amazing sculptured museum, you're just amazed at how it took some time. And I guess you could say since she was built by God, she was well built. And that's good. And then in verse 24, it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. We know this doesn't mean turning your back totally on your parents when you get married, but it does mean you're coming together and forming a new family unit, and that becomes priority. And then there's the one flesh thing. You drive towards Grants Pass and beyond, there's a plywood factory, and you've got different kinds of wood, and they put glue, and then they put them together, these different layers, and it becomes extremely strong. And you can't take plywood apart without destroying it. I want you to think about the fact there's still layers, there's still individuality, and yet there's a coming together, a connectedness. When it says they became one flesh, it's not just theoretical, though there is a joining of hearts and lives, but there's the physical aspect as well. And God made sex for married couples, and it's a good thing. And done God's way with the right person, he indeed says good. You know, I like the picture, you know, Adam being asleep. And he wakes up and goes, man, my side hurts. What in the world happened? And he starts counting his ribs, and God says, Adam, you forgot to name one creature. And he looks up, and Eve's not wearing a wedding dress. She didn't have a stitch on. And he goes, wow. Notice that God gave Adam a wife, not wives. That would have created a whole new situation. But God's design, one man, one woman for life. And in this fallen world, sometimes it doesn't go that way. But this was God's design. And I know also that there's an exception for those that God has called to single-mindedly follow him. But as a rule, God's design is one man would marry one woman and vice versa. It's amazing. God said, and he makes, and he caused. And we've needed each other ever since. Well, another part of God's plan for marriage is to recognize a new family unit. Note, he made a woman and brought her to him. God didn't just make Eve and say, okay, it's hide and seek time, go find. No, he wakes up and there she is. And note that God says everything he made was good. The new family unit, it's a new institution that comes from the Lord. And part of what's involved is leave your father and mother and hold fast or cleave to your spouse and become one flesh. And so I think that the next thing you can do is one of God's plan for marriage is to rejoice. They became one flesh and they were naked and not ashamed. And I'm well aware in our fallen world, sex is used and abused and tarnished and trashed and tossed around. But in God's plan, it was to unite and it was beautiful and wonderful. In addition to the way of making children. You could almost say that God hit two birds with one stone. I want you to reproduce and have a good time while you're at it. Hey, thanks, Lord. You know, I think of the Bushmen, you know, if you watch the movie, they're beating all kinds of stuff with that bottle. And eventually, if they beat it too hard, they're going to break the bottle and someone's going to get cut. And when we misuse sex, it is a problem and people do get hurt. But wasn't it good for the Lord to say, he didn't say, thou shalt have a root canal and then children will emerge. No, he said, I'm going to create something. You're going to get a charge out of it. Go to it. And that's a blessing that God gives us. We can rejoice. But it's not all. There's a picture of revealing the mystery of Christ in the church. And God made marriage to be a picture of something bigger than ourselves. If you look in the classic passage in Ephesians 5, he talks about husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit and respect. And husbands, take care of your wives and care for them. And love your wives as you love yourself. And then he goes on to say, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And Paul ends that passage with, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And one of the purposes of marriage is to portray, in a way us humans can see with our eyes, the spiritual relationship between Christ the bridegroom and the church his bride. And Christ loves and is committed to the church. And a Christ-like marriage can reveal that in an amazing way. The commitment to each other exclusively, celebrating unity with each other, caring for each other above oneself, and showing the world what kind of God we have. And so I'll close with this. If you're single, I want you to take this away. And if you're content to be that way, then God's word would be, use your singleness for devotion to God. If you're single and would like to be married, well, keep growing in godliness and purity and look for a mate committed to the same thing. And if you're married, God's word to you is grow deeper in your relationship with one another. And as you grow closer to each other, you can grow closer to God as well. Well, all this to say, marriage was God's idea. He created it for specific purposes. He made it possible by creating male and female. He gave away the first bride in marriage. He made its design, leave, cleave, become one flesh. He made an enjoyable way of bonding and connectedness. And he made it to be an illustration of our relationship with him. So what I want to encourage you is, if you want to have a good marriage, get to know the one who created it and who gave it to us. Study it and study your spouse. And of course, at the end of the day, like you saw illustrated, celebrate it. Let me close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you're good and kind. And I know, Lord, for some folks who may have lost a spouse recently, it is hard. But I thank you, Lord, that you gave them those spouses. And Lord, for folks, and if there's marriages struggling, I pray that folks would cling tightly to you and to each other. And for everybody else, whatever their situation is, Lord, may we all be growing in godliness, and may we treasure the relationships you've given us. In your name I pray, amen.